Hi, everybody. This is Josh Becerra from Agurian. Welcome to this episode of How I Work. I am here with Zeze Peters, founder and CEO at Beam City. Thanks for being here, Zeze.
I'm superbly excited to be here, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah. So you have an amazing background, a master's of engineering, aerospace, aeronautical and astronautical engineering from Cornell University. Kind of blows my mind. So how do you go from like that type of a career to building Beam City, a platform marketer for marketers to unify their marketing channels?
Well, you know, everybody says that people say marketing is not rocket science, but right. I beg to differ. Okay. My background is in aerospace robotics, and I've built all sorts of robots, land, sea, and space. But more than that, I've also released about 11,000 products, physical goods, you know, consumer electronics, applied AI systems, apps, e-commerce platforms. And whenever you wanted to get any of those things out, you know, engineering and building products is hard, but making customers, you know, see it and like it is also super hard. And that's literally where I decided to fit in. You know, we've literally built a platform that helps you to unify your ads, email, social in one place, and then AI and automations streamline all of your workflows and help you to maximize results.
Yeah. So when we're prepping for this, you kind of talked about how all of those things, all those different channels you just mentioned are like super intertwined. But yes. You also said that you didn't really think marketers are sure how to use that stack together. So like, why do you think marketers kind of aren't figuring that out yet?
Well, I wouldn't say all marketers, right? There's always that 1% of super experts like yourself, Josh, who figure it out. But the majority of marketers, whether in teams or even in agencies, sorry to call some of the agencies out, I won't call your name, don't worry. they don't have any dashboard or mechanism to take a look at the actual effects of running a campaign in tandem to an email campaign. Mm-hmm. That's an ad campaign or an email campaign. So they can't see the value of those extra impressions, that extra customer knowledge to get to increasing your conversion rates, your sell through, your lead generation. That's ultimately the source of all your revenue. And without putting that stuff together, you're not getting there. But how do you put it together in the physical world? You don't know. There's not enough ways for you to put up a billboard and see and tell the outcomes. Nobody's got a billboard calendar that tells you, put it up on Monday, I got 1,000 visits on Tuesday. Right. But a platform like ours can help you to do it digitally and with some physical media as well.
Yeah. So why do you think it's so difficult to like bring all those pieces of data together and derive insights from it?
You gotta basically be a programmer at some point. So a lot of these platforms now have APIs that you can write software to take a look at and listen, to pull it together, unify it. So there, you know, we wouldn't say we're the only company doing aggregation. If you go out into the world looking for advertising or marketing aggregators, you'll find a few different kinds and different flavors. Yeah. But most marketers that I meet aren't even at that step. They don't even have well laid out sites with data integrated. They don't know how to read the data that comes out of these platforms. Sure. Most people can look at a Google report or analytics report and know what to do with that info. Right. And that's a big challenge. You take a look at it, you're like, it's not working, but I don't know where to go next. And that's the problem. Right. Yeah. Without the knowledge of what to do next, which usually, you know, for a super expert comes from experience, comes from learning from someone who knew, and really just a crap ton of experimentation. Right. But if you're not one of the people who is doing those experiments, who had the good mentor, who's had the privilege of helping lots of customers, you're at a huge disadvantage. And, you know, that's we think it's a good idea to help those super experts to move faster, but also those people who are not super experts to not fail immediately.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. And I think that part of like what's happened is this explosion of MarTech tools, right?
Oh, so
like that marketing technology landscape from martech.org, like they've got 10,000 some tools. And I think
I think you're 4x lower than the real number. It's like 80,000 tools.
Yeah, that could very well be. And so I think that, you know, because there's this proliferation of tools, marketers are kind of like cobbling together a tech stack, and then they don't actually know, like, you know, where to trust data or like how to bring those sources together. So kind of shifting gears a little bit, I'd be really curious to hear your thoughts about like this whole MarTech space and where you think it might be going, because like, is it just going to keep proliferating? I just feel like at a certain point, marketers are just going to, they probably already do feel like overwhelmed with like the choices.
Absolutely, they're overwhelmed with the choices. I mean, we just talked about 80,000 tools. Can you imagine if you had 80,000 unopened emails in your inbox? I mean, that would blow my brain.
Yeah.
And that's the issue, right? The proliferation, I mean, there's a lot of money in marketing, right? Like without some form of marketing, most businesses never work. So there will always be a need for marketing. So there will always be a need for tools. But we do have too many tools for too many verticals doing too few things. And so I think the space is open for significant consolidation, either at the enterprise tier, mid-market, low mid-markets, SMB, mom and pop stores, e-commerce, lead gen, B2B, even on the app stores. There's going to be a need for consolidation so that people can learn one language, learn one way to get stuff done, and not get confused when they go from Google to Facebook and have to change all the terms that they know, from social media on TikTok to Pinterest, and nothing seems to work. They don't know how the metrics relate to each other. You've got to consolidate significantly. And I think that's part of why we exist, because we can't go from 80K to 800K. I mean, that's just going to be 10X worse. I think we should go from 80K to more like 80 in the next 10 years.
Well, and the other thing you're seeing is like, you know, universal analytics is going to go away, and GA4 is now the new thing. So it's not just that like new tools are coming out. Well, it's like existing platforms that everybody uses and understands are now completely being overhauled. And there's just going to be this huge new learning curve.
Oh, my God. And the learning curves are all the time. I mean, last year, everybody talked about how the changes in Facebook blew up all their profits, right?
Yeah.
It was a huge thing last year. A lot of people are still dealing with that problem this year. But it's not just Facebook. It's not just Google. You know, with all the stuff going on in Twitter right now, some people hate it. Some people like it. They're experiencing a crap ton of growth. But you know all of that is going to show up in their ad manager and how all of that works, in their targeting and the accuracy, attribution, all of that stuff. Whether it's Taboola, Trade Desk, or any of the big platforms, there's a lot of stuff going on all the time. And this does not even include in Europe with the GDPR stuff and with the privacy laws coming in California and so on. Change is going to be stability in the marketing space forever.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be able to rest on your laurels for more than 2 or 3 years before someone pulls the rug. So do you want to be constantly going back to school? Sure. But I think that's literally where the experts come in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. So one of the things I know that you recently did is you conducted a survey of over 2,000 growth executives.
That's right.
I know you'll be sharing a lot more about this in the weeks to come, but can you give the audience a little bit of taste of the insights that you got from that survey of those growth executives?
Yeah, absolutely. I won't give, you know, the full gamut because, you know, we are for people who we surveyed, we already sent a 3-page just telling them, hey, these are the brief results. And I'll talk about some of that now. But we also have a full on white paper that'll be coming out at the end of the month that goes into more of the details, including in our words and in some of those people's words as well, how they grow. So the survey was about, you know, how do you grow as a mid-market executive? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the people we talked to were in the space of e-commerce. So there's some obvious things like 98% of them saying they don't care where the customer lives. But we found some other really key things. People think, you know, demographic, the perfect customer persona. And while that is true, it only matters if they've got familiarity with your brand.
Right.
We actually found that about 20% favored familiarity of these executives, knew that familiarity mattered more than about 15%. It might seem small, but that's because a lot of people still think it's persona. But when you dig deep into the data, you look at the cohorting, it always ends up being the people who've heard about you that buy or register.
Right.
It's very infrequently the cold calls. It's very infrequently the cold visitors that do anything at all. So you want to keep that in mind. It helps you to set expectations. It helps you to set up budgets. It helps you to set up tests. Because unless you're experimenting, like I said, many people don't know it, but marketing kind of is rocket science. And one of the key things you do in rocket science is test and experiment. You got to do it here too.
Yeah. Oh man, we could probably like dig into like testing and experimentation, or tools, or like how
is Let's do it.
Combine data sources. We're running a little bit short on time. So normally what I do at the end of interviews is I ask like one kind of question that's out of left field a little bit, which is just kind of what's piquing your interest right now, or challenging some of your beliefs, or is there somebody out there that you're paying attention to, like a thought leader or podcaster? Anyway, like what is it out there that's kind of trending in your head right now that you think this audience should hear about?
Well, it might seem like a left field thing, but I'm really into the topic of ethics and artificial intelligence.
Okay.
I released an article on ethics and artificial intelligence last year. I did a webinar, I was at a marketing AI conference and talked about it with a lot of thought leaders in the space. Yeah. But that's a thing that I'm really, really concerned about, because you know, we have different ideologies of building software, but I think we need to put ethics back into the AI, not just so we don't build Skynet and kill everybody in the world, but more importantly, because when you build software, if we build software in the wrong way, then you have this effect of accumulating power to too few people. Mm-hmm. But really, the world is always better when more people have freedom, when more people can use machines to get work done, right? Like I see machines and AIs as a form of machine, as a way of wealth creation, wealth expansion for companies, small, medium, large. And I think that ethical AI question is something that needs to be resolved. We're doing a lot of stuff on that too. But to me, I think it's really, really important for the future.
I can tell you that I was with a couple of friends. We were kind of having a guy's weekend, and there was like a 3-hour drive from, you know, like Chicago, Illinois to Bloomington, Indiana. Wow. And I swear we spent probably 2 hours of that drive talking about ethics and AI and the robots. And there's, you know, half of us who are thinking like the robots are going to take over and Terminator is a real thing. And then there's the other half that says that, you know, in the right hands and like doing it properly with the right ethics, this could be just a huge win for humanity, right?
Where absolutely.
People, humans don't have to do like the really laborious jobs and things. So,
I'll give you a whole nother podcast. Well, I'll give you my end liner on that. Right? All right. What we want is the AI to be more like Star Trek. And a lot less like Terminator.
Yeah, there you go. Love that. Well, Zeze, this has been an awesome interview. I really appreciate your time.
Me too.
I wish you the best of luck with Beam City, and look forward to hearing more about that survey of growth executives. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, Josh. I appreciate you getting me on the podcast.
Thank you for listening to the How I Work podcast with Josh Becerra. If you like what you heard, make sure you subscribe. To learn more about Agurian and for more digital marketing tips and insights, head to agurian.com.